Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5? We had a men's meeting yesterday, and we looked at some of these scriptures, and they were such a blessing to me. I thought about sharing some of the things we considered yesterday with the whole congregation. Reason being, I believe we all need them. I heard Brother Henry say that someone asked him one time, I told you this the other day, does a believer naturally know the right thing to do, or do they need to be taught? The answer is yes and yes. They know, but they need to be taught. I want to preach both messages today on this subject, a biblical marriage. And I've entitled the first one with that title, a biblical marriage, a loving husband. And Lord willing, the second message will be a biblical marriage, a submissive wife. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to look at a loving husband first. Verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now I want you to look, before we consider this for a moment, at verse 32 of Ephesians 5. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I want us to look at something this morning that is so mysterious and so marvelous. And let's go ahead and just admit right now, this great mystery is something that we look at and we see through a glass darkly. We can see something of it, but it is a great mystery. But it's a great mystery that the Lord has been pleased to give His people some light on. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, after we've looked at this wonderful subject, a marriage. What is a marriage? Well, according to the Scripture, it's a great mystery. Ordained of God. The Lord said concerning Adam, Genesis, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife. Adam didn't have a father or a mother. That scripture was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason shall the man leave his father. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself, humbled himself, cleaved to his wife eternally, never relinquishing his deity, but took upon himself the form of sinful flesh. For this one reason, he loved his wife, and in obedience to his Father's will, that she be redeemed and saved, he gave himself. Husbands, listen. You that are not married, listen. I'm going to tell you what God has to say about a marriage. And this is the husband's responsibility. It's a privilege. It's an honor. But I tell you this, it's a God-given honor and responsibility. Husbands, love your wife. Now I want us to consider for a minute this thing of love. Just hold your place right there in Ephesians. And turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. It's real easy for us to say, well, I love my wife. I go to work. I do this. I do all that. That's good. I'm glad. You ought to. And if you don't, shame on you. But I want to know, what does God have to say about love? This is what the Lord says. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to just look just a bit. I for the sake of time. I want us to look at something, though, concerning love. And listen, this is concerning a husband's love for his wife, but it's concerning love in general. Love is of God. We're considering husbands, love your wife. I want to know, what does God have to say about love? Now, this is love. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you can have the ability to just express yourself so wonderfully. Though I have, verse 2, the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains and have not love, charity, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods, you're so giving, you're so generous, I bestow all my goods to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I'm so sacrificial, I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now listen, without what the Word of God says concerning love, if you don't have this right here, what God has to say about love, I'm telling you, all of your speech, all of your eloquence, all of your knowledge, it's just repulsive to the ears. You have all the ability to, just mentally grasp hold of all the scriptures. But if you don't have love, what God has to say about love, you're like a life, you're like a body without life. It's just offensive. You're like a contaminated well. You cry by your attitude and actions, don't drink from me. I'm poison. You know all these wonderful things. You got a mental assent to the gospel. You understand. You know, but you don't have love. You're like the kiss of Judas. It looks good on the outside just for that moment, but betrayal is lurking. You don't have love, it's like a house that's built on sand. There's no stability. You're like a book, it doesn't have any words. It's just no profitable instruction. Love is the chief evidence of a person being a believer. Love, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one for another. And the book of Ephesians, and here again, I'm going to just touch these very quickly. Book of Ephesians, it reveals what love is and what love is not. I want us to look for just a second at what love is not, what it doesn't do. Look at verse 4. I'll skip down to the second line of verse 4, and I'll go back to the first part of it in a minute, but here's what it doesn't do. Charity, love, envieth not. It's not jealous. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And His love, it's not jealous, it's not suspicious, it's not always questioning another's actions or their motives. Love trusts. It trusts. That's love. A man that loves his wife is not suspicious of her. He loves her. Not jealous. Love vaunteth not itself. It doesn't promote itself. It's not rash for personal glory. Love is not puffed up. It's not conceited. Not thinking that I can do no wrong. My way, the highway. I'm the man. You get that through your head. That's not love. That's not love. Not puffed up. Look at verse 5. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude. It's not discourteous. It's thoughtful. Love does not have a continual bad attitude. Love, verse 5, seeketh not her own. It means it doesn't shrink or draw back from seeking the welfare of others. Husband, love your wife. A man that loves his wife is looking for her welfare. Always. A man that loves his wife is always looking for the best for his wife. Love is not easily provoked. Heard Brother Henry say this one time. He said, love isn't touchy. Love is not easily offended. Not resentful. Love is not high maintenance. You think about somebody that's just high maintenance. You just got to walk around on eggshells all the time. You're always afraid. You're just going to... I can't say anything right. I say something, it doesn't come out, you know, the way I thought it. You know, I always take the worst attitude toward it. Love thinketh no evil. Now, you know, somebody say, well, I don't know anybody. We all, you know, we have an old nature that just think, yep, I know we do. That's exactly right. We do. It's not talking about that inability that we have to just not think evil. Because we all think that. We all have that, you know. But here's what it's talking about. It doesn't think or reflect or continually bring up another one's past faults or failings. It doesn't always just, you know, well, I tell you what, I remember. I remember what you did. I remember what you did. That's not love. That is not love. Look at Philippians 4:8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here's what the Scripture says. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Love, back in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, thinketh no evil. Well, it happened in the past, and I'm not going to let it go. Well, that's not a loving spirit. That's not love. Is there anything that you would have in your past that you would like for somebody just to forgive you for and forget? Verse 6, love rejoiceth not in iniquity. That is, love does not find pleasure in repeating or hearing repeated another one's shortcomings. We're all fallen sons of Adam. There's not one ounce of good in our old man. No one has any. Everybody is a sinner. And by the grace of God, saved. But love does not rejoice in the shortcomings of another one. Man that just always wants to pick on his wife about, you know, I tell you what, she's this and she's that. I tell you, but it's not love. Here's what love does. Back and forth. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long. Charity is patient. Patient for Christ's sake. Patient for the sake of your wife. Patient for the sake of the body. Long suffering. That's what it is. Verse 6. It rejoiceth in the truth. It rejoices in the truth of the gospel. It rejoices and agrees with the truth of the gospel. This is what I am by nature. It's what my wife is. It's what my husband is by nature. And I love him. I love her. I'm long-suffering with her. I'm patient with her. I don't want to put her down. I want to hide her faults. I want others to think the best of her. It rejoices in the truth, in hearing and rehearsing what the mercy of God has done for me, for my wife. And it rejoices in seeing others grow in grace. It's the most grieving thing in the world. See someone that just refuses to say they're a believer. They've just got the worst attitude. And it just, you know. Scripture says, verse 7, here's what love does. It beareth all things. I mentioned this a second ago, but I wrote down right here. Hides the faults of another. You parents, let me ask you something. For your children, your kids, you know, as they're growing up, don't you want to hide the faults they have? You know, why won't we do that for our spouse? You know, it beareth all things. It believes the best of another. I want my kids to grow. I want my kids to respect me. I want my kids to love God. I want my children, if they're married, I want them to love each other. It puts the best twist on another one's actions and words. It beareth all things. You hear somebody say something, and I'm telling you, here's the old man. Here's, you know. And I'm going to tell you something. We're all guilty. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. I mean, this is the most convicting passage of Scripture for me. I'm the one that stands here and has to set forth. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my, who's sufficient for these things? The old man will hear what somebody says, and it'll put the worst twist on it. I heard what you said, but I know what you meant. I know what you meant. Love beareth all things. It hopeth all things. It hopeth all things. It looks for the best. Remember the prodigal? That boy fell. Told his daddy, I want what's coming to me. Give it to me. He took it and wasted all of it. But do you know that was a boy that never ceased to be his daddy's son? I don't know how long he looked for him. But I tell you what, he was looking the day that boy was coming back. And he rejoiced. And that boy had already rehearsed his story. I'm not worthy to be your son. Dad never brought it up. You put some shoes on his feet and a ring on his hand, a robe on his back, and kill that fatted calf. It hopeth all things. Praying, seeking God's direction. It endureth all things. For the gospel's sake, for the sake of the unity of this body, for the sake of the unity of your marriage, endures all things. I may say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm living in. A man that loves his wife endures all things. Verse 8 says this concerning love. Charity never fails. Verse 13 says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. Hope, that is that future expectation. One of these days is going to be brought to light. Hope. We have a good hope in Christ. Faith is going to be done away with one of these days. We're going to see by sight. But love. Love never fails. Love doesn't stop. Love doesn't cease. Now back in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved her consistently. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You think about that. You husbands, you think about that. You'd say to your wife, honey, I love you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He loved her tenderly. He loved her completely. He loved her selflessly. The Scripture says he gave himself. He loved her. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. A man that loves his wife, loves her compassionately, as her head, as the head of that marriage, of that home, he wants her. And I'm going to deal with this a little bit when I get over into the next message. But he wants her to depend on him. Husbands, love your wife. Grab hold of that word, your. Love your wife. She's your wife. You love her. We have a lot of acquaintances. Have a lot of friends. Have a lot of There's a lot of people in this congregation. I have one wife in this congregation. I have one wife. I love her. She's my wife, and I want her to be dependent upon me. A husband that loves his wife as Christ loves the church takes the responsibility for the well-being of that marriage. Husbands, it's your responsibility for the well-being. The whole tone of the marriage. Now you listen. The whole tone of the marriage is set by the husband. What or who set the tone of the marriage between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride? Who set it? Christ or the bride? Do you see what I'm saying? Who sets the tone? A husband that loves his wife and does all for her good, for her protection, for her comfort. That wife willingly submits herself to that. husband desires for his wife to be in submission, you love her. What constrains a believer toward Christ? Well, here's what the Scripture says. The love of Christ constraineth us. Do you know how the Lord deals with His people? In love. In love. Even in chastisement, in chastenings. He does it, Mitch, for our good, because He loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. But I'm telling you, for His people, He's not a tyrant. He's not a dictator with unlovingness toward His people. He loves His own. Husbands, the Lord gave you that wife. He gave you the wife. Look at John 17, verse 2. Here's what the Lord said. Remembering this, when we love our wives, never forget, and Lord help me to remember this. This is a great mystery. Our relationship, it's not just, me and the old lady, you know. Listen, a husband and his wife is in this world a glorious, mysterious picture of the marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. And every day that we're in this world, men and women, listen to me. We are proclaimers in our marriage. The relationship, or we ought to be, we should strive to be, the relationship between Christ and His bride. How does the Lord love His people? Husbands, love your wife. He gave her to you. Look at John 17, 2. As thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given Him. This is God's gift, husbands, to you. Your wife. She's a picture of the church. She's a picture of the bride of Christ. Love her that way. Speak to her that way. Consider her that way. Almighty God chose the bride of Christ and gave her to the Lord, the husband. Betrothed her to Him and the Lord to her. Before the foundation of the world, I've loved you with an everlasting love. You say, you mean you're telling me that the Lord ordained? Look in Ephesians 1:11. He ordained my wife, my husband. I thought I chose her. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Almighty God, husbands, has given you a wife. Treat her as such. She's the Lord's gift. And He's given her to you. And I'm speaking to believers, I know, because an unbeliever is not going to understand or care. But I'm telling you, you men that love Christ, have a heart for Him, you recognize something. Your wife is a picture of His bride. And the way that He treats her, you say, I'll never come up to that expectation. I agree with you. None of us will. But I'm going to tell you something. Lord, teach me something concerning this. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me for my attitude. You love her. You cherish her. You respect her. You comfort her. You conceal her faults. and be an example before her that others might behold, but especially your wife might behold something of the mercy of Almighty God to His bride. And you treat her. You know what I mentioned a while ago? The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You treat her in private just like you would in public. You know, we can put on a good front, can't we? You know, you can put on a big show and in front of others. But I'm going to tell you something. She knows. She knows. And I'm going to tell you this, others do too. Because you're not hiding everything. Treat her affectionately, lovingly. Submission is earned. Submission is earned. And I'm telling you, a wife who has a husband that loves her, does all for her, she gladly, thankfully submits. I don't want to get into the next message. A man that loves his wife, he adores her. And she knows it. I want you to look at Song of Solomon 4. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Verse 1 to 7. Now these words are so marvelous. They're so magnificent. These are divine. This is the Lord speaking to His bride. This is His attitude toward her. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Thy speech is comely. Thy temples like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh, to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. What he's saying is, there's nothing about you that I don't adore. The Lord has made His people that way. The Lord made His people that way. Husbands, treat your wife with adoration. Look at verse 9. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. I adore you. Thank God for you. Thank the Lord He gave you to me. To a husband that loves his wife. She's more beautiful now. He loves her more now than he did when he first met her. You say, you mean with all these wrinkles and stuff? Yes, I do. He loves her. Loves her. Christ's love for His church never changes. Our love for our wife, husbands, grows. You say, I believe in love at first sight. I don't. Love grows. You love your wife because you know her. You watch over her. You forgive her. You've grown with her. You know. The Lord's bride fell in Adam. He never changed. Husband, cover her faults. And here in closing, I told the men this yesterday. I said, you know, some say marriage 50-50. I don't think so. No, somebody said, I'll tell you what it is, it's 100-100. I don't think so. The Scripture says that the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself. Loved his church and gave himself. And do you know, I didn't notice any other scripture after that on that verse concerning him giving himself. He gave himself. And there was nothing on her part, on the bride's part, to do anything to make his love complete. A man loves 100% to nothing. And a wife does too. She ought to. He ought to. If I say it's 100-100, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to give my 100. But doggone it, you better give yours too. You don't come up to your 100. No, that's a Mexican standoff. But I'm telling you, when you love her, because you love her, if she doesn't meet your expectation, you love her. You think how the Lord loves His people. I'll just read the rest of the verse. Ephesians 5:28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I told the guys yesterday, you know, if I hurt this hand right here, this is part of my body right here. Your wife's one with you. If I hurt this hand, you know I'm not going to scold it. I'm not going to fuss at it. I'm not going to bring up all its faults, things that it should have done. It should have picked that. You ought to have been able to pick that, you know, that up. You shouldn't have hurt. Shouldn't have had arthritis. Your fault. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to take care of it. If I get something in my eye, I'm not going to pluck it out. I'm going to do all I can to get it and get some relief. And I want to help it. Why? Because it's my eye. Glenda's my wife. I'm going to scold her and fuss at her. I'm going to love her. For we're members, verse 30, of His body, of His flesh, of His bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father, be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, truly, this is a great mystery, isn't it? This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Don't you want the best for yourself? Aren't you going to pamper yourself? Anybody that's got any sense will say yes. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. What did the Lord do? He gave himself. He loved his bride. Here's the first rule, first admonition of a biblical marriage. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. May the Lord bless these words for Christ's sake. Amen.